this offseason, I'm going to attack it like I've never attacked it before, and I'm going to try to push myself to limits that I've never even come close to. That's my mentality going into this summer. I'm going to take the next couple weeks to decompress, think about the season, but after that, it's business as usual. It's training, and this is one of the reasons why we're paid.
Sabres winger Alex Tuch, as the Sabres cleaned out the lockers, faced the media, and kind of faced the music on what was a disappointing season this past year. Welcome back. Hour number three of Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Evan's on the board with you here, and we've got you for one more hour, or you've got us for one more hour, whichever way you want to look at it. It's a coexisting relationship, so to say.
Depends on your look of the glass half full or glass half empty, you know.
And as always, though, we try to make sure we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Mark in Kenmore. Mark, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got for us?
Yeah, hello. I've been a Buffalo Sabres fan and season ticket holder. I've been following this team since the 70s, too. I think that Buffalo is closer to being a really good team than they are at the bottom of the barrel. But I definitely believe that Granato just could not take them anywhere, and the change was necessary. It had to be made. A big thing I believe that Adams, if I could ask him one question, and that really is, I get the sense that Pegula and the ownership is not handicapping him at all. It's the league. Does the Buffalo Sabres, are they the Pittsburgh Pirates of the NHL where trades are very hard to make for them? Buffalo has a tough time making trades. It can go very, very long without making anything that substantial. Now, maybe we'll see what the Byram trade does. And free agency overall, July 1st, I'm talking about, has generally been a disaster. Clifton might be decent, but you got to go back to Darcy Regier when Buffalo last had any good free agents. I wonder where they are when it comes to recruiting, because I think that has been a problem. And if there's a player that Adams likes in the offseason that he wants to trade for, if he has to go on a plane with Pegula and go to that player's house, let's say that player has him on the no trade, you know, on Buffalo on the no trade list of his, convince him. Find a way and convince him. And as far as quick thought on the Bills, and I'll let you go here, guys, I'm not surprised that Pegula is probably looking for more money, because I think the stadium overrun, the new stadium, is probably the reason behind it. I don't know how much the PSL and the concern about how high they may be is playing a role in that, but I definitely think the overruns could be a problem. It's going to be over $2 billion by the time it's built.
Yeah. Yeah, the overruns, I know, have been a pretty consistent thing that's been reported. So, yeah, to finish off on your last point, definitely it's an interesting play to me, because the NFL prints money. They in 2022, they got $18 billion. The NFL made $18 billion in revenue. I went and looked. So if you're splitting that up between 32 teams, I imagine the Bills are getting like just less than $1 billion there
in
revenue sharing. So to me, selling a 25% stake to, I don't know, recoup some funds so that you can put them into your stadium overrun, like,
it's to make it liquid.
Yeah, it is to make it liquid. I understand what's going on, but that's, it kind of tells you where they're at liquidity wise and what's going on from there and what kind of moves they feel that they need to make, and that's even on the table, especially since a year ago Pegula had flatly stated that they were not looking for any sort of minority or ownership in any of their organizations.
Yep.
Moving on to the rest of the things that Mark said, I agree. Change had to be made from Granato. They had very clearly reached a ceiling of what his messaging was. That's what Rachel Hotmeyer said.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree that they're much closer to being on the verge of being a good team than the bottom of the barrel. What I don't agree with is that the the shackling of the Sabres is not a league problem. It is a Sabres problem.
It is a Sabres problem because you get added to no trade lists because you are in the longest playoff drought in NHL history.
You get added because, you know, of that, various different factors. I imagine, you know, guys like Ralph Kruger, guys like, I mean, Grady was able to get Taylor Hall due to a previous connection. Look how that worked out. The Sabres have missed out on deals that would help them, though. Any deal that goes through that involves salary retention, stuff that could have helped what they're getting in terms of trades. I don't want to say that Eric Johnson could have gotten more if you retained half his salary, because he's Eric Johnson at this stage of
his
career.
The fact that they got a fourth was already a coup.
So I'll give him that, right. But
considering
the Sabres,
Philly fell out of
the Sabres
playoffs
over the last 3 years since COVID have been one of the lowest payrolls in the league, and they've done nothing to weaponize that, which tells me that either the GM doesn't know how or the owners tell them we can't do that.
Right.
And I don't know. To me, at this point, enough people have complained about it to where it has gotten to Kevin Adams. We live in this age now, right, where it's easier than ever to get fan criticism. You have a pretty much direct pathway on that, right? So I don't want to say that's influencing anything with Kevin Adams, but also at the same time, you're hearing the things that people want. It's hard not to hear noise in that position, I imagine. So I don't know. But I do not think that that's a league problem. And if they are becoming the Pittsburgh Pirates, that is an ownership issue. That's not a league issue. The Pittsburgh Pirates ownership is doing that, just so we're clear.
It's a self-caused problem.
They are raking in money from the MLB's cash program that they barely have a payroll for. The only other team that has a lower payroll is the Oakland Futures, Sacramento future Las Vegas Athletics.
The Las Vegas Bees.
Whatever.
Because they won't be the A's.
Of course. But get out of here with that. That's a league problem. Sorry, that's harsh, Mark, but that's just not a league problem.
I do get what he was saying about like how often players will probably add Buffalo to a no-trade list, but it's because of Buffalo's pattern over the last 13 years that players will add that team to the list. So it's not necessarily a league issue. It is a players don't want to come here because of the Sabres and how they have been run as of late.
And Buffalo, they've had a lot of success stories, but they've also had plenty of stories where they do get a guy and he just is not a fit for what they wanted him to do.
Right.
I think a lot about how they signed Cody Eakin for a couple of years thinking he'd be this defensive stalwart, not realizing, oh, the only form of defense he knows how to play is winning a faceoff.
Yep. Which they're oddly bad at.
Which I was going to say, now they can't do that to save their lives.
Yeah.
So it's like,
damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's, you know how I feel about faceoffs. They're not important unless they are, unless that specific one you get a goal on or whatever.
Yep.
But
it's tough. It's tricky. All right, TJ, I'm about to apologize to you.
Yeah, you told me this was going to happen.
Yes, and the reason for that is I'm going to poison your brain, just how I've poisoned Evan's brain, and just how I've poisoned other people's brains.
Try me.
With the dumbest thing that I've done in a long time, and that was...
That's saying a lot.
I made a parody song. Evan, it's Mock Draft Simulator. We're bringing the big energy.
Mock Draft Simulator, ready to log on and do a mock draft, ready to go and pick up receivers, ready to go and trade up some picks, ready to call my dad, ready to come
his face
over.
Right now, people.
Gonna fire up that mock draft, oh, whoops, accidentally closed out the window. Crush the pick, here come trade offers, crush them too. The Chiefs are a problem for me, they have won too many times. Mock Draft Simulator. Mock Draft Simulator. The Chiefs beat us too many times. Mock Draft Simulator. Mock Draft Simulator. Mock Draft Simulator.
TJ's bopping.
Learned how to do a mock draft on my lunch break from work.
And now we keep the music because we're going into a mock draft simulator, baby. So
what's the website for this?
For the mock draft or
yes,
for okay,
for the
so
draft.
This is PFF that we're using here. But we are going to go ahead and do a mock draft right now. You're with me. I'm in central control on this thing. TJ, are we trading up?
That feels sexy. Let's do it.
All right, we're going to trade up. Where do you want to go? I'm thinking like Tennessee, Atlanta, 7-8.
Okay, let's all right. do it.
So here's what we're going to do. We'll try to go with the Titans here. We're going to obviously offer up pick 28. And I'd imagine it's going to cost the future one. And I think I'm going to try... Let's do... a third rounder next year. It's got a 93% chance to be accepted. So we're going to do this. I've sent the trade offer in, and there we go. We're at 7.
Wow, they accepted?
They accepted. It took round 1 and round 3, which I don't think is realistic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit higher.
Well, I mean, it's 2 firsts and a third for a first, so that's the other way to look at it.
The value chart is all weird this year because there's so many... I feel like there's a lot of players. There's a lot of star power at the top of this
draft. But for a team like the Titans, pick 28 is a great place to trade down and get more picks because they don't have a lot in the middle of the draft.
Yeah.
So
I'm with that.
It's almost a good match here with the Bills and the Titans. So we're going to start our draft. Obviously, Williams, Daniels, McCarthy. Oh, man. That almost went poorly. It went Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, Neighbors, Harrison, and then the Giants took Drake May so that we could end up with... one of the big three receivers. But we almost went 0-for at pick 7. That was kind of scary.
No.
So, Rome Odunze would be the pick there, obviously.
Cool.
So, we'll do that. We'll fire it up, and we'll hit a pick 60 here and see what we've got from there. But, TJ, you've got yourself one run up there as well. And what would you say about possibly staying there? Because I know if you don't have a paid... subscription, you can't do any trades.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So you'd be
running that with me.
So you'll be running the if the Bills stay.
Okay, I got you. All right. So let's start the draft. Teams picking. All our receivers are off the board, obviously.
Mock draft simulator.
All right. So we got a couple of we got Jerzon Newton is our top pick available. He's a defensive interior lineman. Got a couple cornerbacks, Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry.
All-time name, by the way.
I wish he was ranked lower, so I would accept drafting a cornerback based on that. But anyway.
How's our receiver pool looking there?
Troy Franklin would be the first receiver off the board here.
So he's the top receiver available. It would be Troy Franklin there at pick 28.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
and
that...
Ladd McConkey's right behind him.
Yeah, and Franklin McConkey, they seem to be relatively in the same space there. But it does look like the well kind of dried up pretty quickly there for you when it comes to receivers there.
Yeah,
I'd imagine if Xavier Leggett is one of your options, that would probably be there at pick 28 as well.
Yeah, so we've got Newton, we got Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Troy Franklin, and then Peyton Wilson rounds out the five here, and then Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota, is there as well. Mm-hmm. Who we picking? We want to go Franklin?
Yeah, I'd say we go Franklin there.
Yeah, I think that's good value for where the Bills are at. PFF has them ranked 29th. I don't know how their ranking system looks. This is the first time I'm doing this. So,
yeah. So getting to pick 60 here in the trade up version, we got ourselves an opportunity to get a defensive tackle in Chris Jenkins. That would be a fantastic addition, I think. When it comes to the second round receivers, man, a lot of that well dried up very fast. Javon Baker, Devontae Walker. But outside of that, not a lot of names that I'm really excited about. And Baker could be even like a fringe third round guy anyway.
Okay.
So I'm not worrying about a receiver there in the second round. Though I do love the idea of having Chris Jenkins available as the second round selection there, helping out the defensive line. And I am going to make that pick.
Excellent.
So there we go. And there is...
I ran out of free... whatever on mine, so it's all you at this point.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, but I just more or less wanted to go into the two different perspectives of what are we looking at simulation-wise with pick 28 versus what happens when you trade up and have an opportunity there. But the Bills, it sounds like you have to get to 7 because I almost lost out on everything.
I wish I would have scrolled up and seen where guys like Brian Thomas Jr. and Adonai Mitchell were going, Xavier Legette. But I already clicked off the page.
I can help you with that, luckily. That's something I'm glad to do for you here.
Thanks.
Brian Thomas Jr. typically is being projected within, like, the teens. In mine here, he went 15th to the Colts. But the receiver run starts hitting up again, more or less. Oddly enough, the funny thing is that if you like A.D. Mitchell, had I not traded up, guess who took him at pick 28? Tennessee did.
Wow.
Xavier Worthy goes at 24, though. And then you get the run at the start of the second round. Ladd McConkey, Xavier Legette, Troy Franklin, all going before pick 40. Keon Coleman at 46, Jalen Polk at 51, Ricky Pearsall there at 57. So the Bills at 60, it's kind of tough if you don't end up taking one. But at the same time, there are players in that range, like a Javon Baker, who would be, you know, like I said, late second, early third kind of guy.
Yeah.
Someone that I would be okay with getting there. Roman Wilson, same type of player there. But again, it is such a deep class, but at the same time, by the time the Bills pick at 60, a lot of these players will be gone.
So I just did kind of an auto-draft situation for a second window I had open.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. is picked at the 7th spot here with Malik Nabers being the first receiver off the board.
Yep.
There's a lot that I feel like there's a lot of different directions this top 10 can go, especially if the Bills are able to trade up to that 7 or 8 spot. I think you're right. If they don't get 7, they could probably go 10 at the very latest to maybe grab one of the big 3. But I think that's about as high as I'd be willing to go in terms of... No, I'd be willing to go to 7, but I don't think I'd be willing to trade up much more than 10 for that if other guys are going to be available.
Well, there you go, guys. That's Mock Draft Simulator, and TJ was just... His face, I was loving every moment of that, by the way. That was just a grand old time.
How has nobody showed me that yet? Why didn't you text me when you recorded it?
Because it's not finished yet.
Oh.
That is why.
Okay.
We play the abridged version here.
Oh.
For the sake of time.
Fair.
Obviously. But we can shift back over to the Sabres. Chris Ostrander from Two in the Box, the Instigator Podcast. He will be joining us next here as we get more on the Sabres, their head coaching search, and what happens from here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Evans on the board. We're here for another 30 minutes. You're listening to WGR.